Well, it's good to have the Day Crews with us here this evening. This is Joshua and Francis Day Crew. And actually, this is his brother Paul's, his older brother Paul's girls, at least some of them. Are these all of them?
Not all of them.
Not all, I didn't think of it. Okay, all right. So Day Crew families are pretty good size, aren't they? Yeah, they do. Yeah, you ready for this? You know, but I mentioned that he was here a few weeks ago, and they were passing through, and we had been supporting Joel and Brooke in Kiribati, and Scott and Katie, in Fiji Islands, I guess. His parents have been there for years and years in the Fiji Island area there, and. Then Paul is in that area, in Fiji Island, but it's 1,000 islands there, isn't it, or whatever it is, or 300. Okay, well, I exaggerate. Evangelistically speaking, it was 1,000 islands there, and I like their dressings. That's why I was talking about it. So they've been there for years, and Paul went back, and this kind of reminds me of Ben Ray, Ed Ray is the father. I think he was here one time, and you got Ben, and then there's Neil, and then there's Zachary, and they're all in mainland China, actually in underground churches, so no one's supposed to know about that. But the family. I remember when Ben was here, he was just talking about growing up in China and going down the corner, and one time they ate dog. Don't tell anybody, you just learn to live there. And he said, be honest with you, he said, because I tried to hire him. Get out of college, I was trying to hire him. I liked him, he was a good guy. And he says, you know what? America will never be home. He said, we're home in China, that's where we are. And that's where they are. And so I appreciate this, and I mentioned this a few weeks ago when they were here, missionary families. And I think that means a lot. And I know sometimes, if we're not careful, when we're younger, we're thinking what we missed. You didn't miss but nothing, anything but a mess. And, one of these days when life's all over, we'll be very glad. And we stand before the Lord, and we're going to rejoice. And, if the Lord calls you that way, everybody's different, and I understand that. So don't get the pressure on that. But I just appreciate here several generations here. And I just appreciate it very, very much. So he's going to come and give us what's on his heart. And you listen up and appreciate them being here tonight. God bless you.
I wonder if down underneath there's yours.
Okay, perfect. That's some water for me. All right. Good evening, church. Good to see you all this evening. Glad nobody blew away on their way here. But it's good to be here. It really is. And I hope I can be comfortable. I feel comfortable here. Amen. I think it's amazing. You can go anywhere in the world, and when you meet Christians, there's always that bond, amen, that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. But my wife and I are Josh and Francis Deku, as Pastor has introduced us, and we're second-generation missionaries back to the Fiji Islands. I was born in Fiji, grew up in Fiji. Like Pastor mentioned, I look like American, but I feel Fijian. I was the only white kid in my class when I went to school over there, but... that's like home to me. And, I'm thankful. I prayed, and God, what do you want me to do with my life? And God really burdened my heart to go back and reach the next generation of Fijians with the gospel. And so I'm thankful for God leading Francis into my life. And I went to Bible college, was faithful there, and finished that. And then she agreed to marry me. I took her to Fiji first, made sure that she was okay with that and what God wanted us to do there, and then proposed over there, of course. And that's a whole story we don't have time to tell you about, but... We ended up on plan C that night. So you can imagine, plan A, plan B went wrong, but plan C, but most importantly, she said yes, amen? So we made it through that. My parents were getting worried. They're like, man, is she having second thoughts? They're not home yet, but we're thankful for that. So let's show our video presentation. We don't have a lot of time tonight to answer questions or anything, but please come by our table at the back. If you have any questions about our ministry, we'd love for you to ask us that. And please do follow us. If you have an email address, you can sign up back there. Also on social media for the younger people. And be a partner in what God is doing in our lives. We're thankful for churches back here and those who partner with us as we go. And we ask that you would hold the ropes as we go. That you would pray for us, and you can be a part of what God is doing around the world. And so just encourage you with that tonight. But let's watch our video at this time. And please, if you do have questions, stop by our table after the service and ask us.
Fiji. A land of beauty? Yes. But a nation filled with thousands of souls in need of the life-changing power of the gospel. The country of Fiji consists of over 300 islands, of which 100 are permanently populated. There are three main islands. Viti Levu is the largest and is where the majority of the population lives. The island of Viti Levu takes about 8 hours to drive around and is estimated to be about 4,000 square miles. In 1874, the British colonized these islands, bringing with them indentured laborers from India. Many of these Indians decided to stay in Fiji after their contract ended. Today, Indo-Fijians comprise close to 40% of Fiji's population, while 57% of the population is made up of indigenous Fijians. In addition to these main ethnicities, there are also many other Pacific Islanders and Asians living in Fiji for the purpose of education and learning English. Fiji is a diverse land with a population of almost 1 million people. Fiji presents a unique opportunity to spread the gospel as it is a melting pot of cultures from around the world. Certainly, there is a great opportunity to reach many people in this small island country.
We are Josh and Francis Deku, and God has called us to Fiji.
It is an honor for me to introduce to you the church planting ministry of Josh and Francis Deku. Both of these young people have followed the Lord and answered the call to go as missionaries to this very needy island nation. Thank you for hosting them in your church. Would you prayerfully consider supporting them as they desire to reach these people for the Lord Jesus Christ?
Our desire is found in Isaiah 42:12. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. I was born at the Lotoka Hospital in Fiji and had the privilege to grow up here as my parents have served as missionaries for 25 years. Since I have dual citizenship, the door is open for me to go and come without needing a work permit. I trusted Christ as my Savior at the age of 7 and surrendered to God's call to be a missionary at the age of 12. I am blessed to have a godly heritage with 3 older brothers who also serve as missionaries around the South Pacific. My brother Paul and his family have served as missionaries in Fiji for 15 years. They live in Singitoka currently, where they have started the Harvest Baptist Church. My brother Scott and his family also serve in Fiji now and have started the Anchor Baptist Church. My brother Joe and his family serve as missionaries in a little country called Kiribati. They live on the capital island and have started the Tarawa Baptist Church. We have had the opportunity to serve in Kiribati for 3 months as my brother and his family had to return to the U.S. on a medical leave.
I was born in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and I am the 5th born of 7 children with 5 brothers and 1 sister. On May 30th, 1998, my dad led me to the Lord. In the summer of 2008, I struggled immensely with surrendering to God's will entirely. I told God I would do anything except be a missionary. By November of the same year, the Lord moved in my heart at a youth conference, and I surrendered that very last part that I was holding on to. In 2013, I met Josh at Bible College, and we have been married since June of 2017. I'm excited to serve the Lord in Fiji, and I am looking forward to what God has in store for us.
Francis and I had the opportunity in 2018 to serve in Fiji for 2.5 months. We were blessed to work with my parents in the church in Lotoka in which I grew up, and also assist in a new church plant on the northern part of our island in a town called Racky Racky.
We had the great privilege to travel with the Barry Webb Evangelistic Team as they traveled to churches across the main island and visited schools presenting the gospel. The doors are still open to share the gospel at many of the schools in Fiji, for which we are grateful, but we do not know how long this door will remain open.
About 50% of the population is under the age of 28. God has deeply burdened our hearts to reach this next generation of Fijians with the gospel. Our vision is to see churches started and to reach and disciple Fijians so that they can reach their own people for Christ. The need is great to reach the people of Fiji before it is eternally too late. Would you pray that God would use us to make a difference for Christ in Fiji?
That gives you a little bit of overview about us. But if you have any questions, please do feel free to ask us. But our goal is, as you've seen there, some people are like, well, what is there really to do in Fiji? It's an island country, isn't there enough missionaries there? But as you can see there on that island, my brother Paul and his three girls are here tonight, are down on the southern part of our island. They've started a church there, and they're reaching out. Then my parents are working on the western side. Also, about a half an hour away is where my brother Scott is, and he started a church where the airport is. And then my parents have prayed up on the northern part of our island for years that God would send a missionary to go start a work up there. There's about 100,000 people that come into that town, and it's known to be a lot of witchcraft and a lot of darkness goes on there. Well, we know that wherever darkness is, the light shines brighter. Amen. And my parents have prayed for years, but there's a lot of spiritual warfare that goes on. And there have been two different missionary couples that were supposed to come and start that church. But for one reason or another, they have not come. So finally, my parents are, in their 60s, and they're like, we're going to go start it. We're going to go do this all over again. So they've been trying to go between the two churches about 2 hours apart. And so our prayer is to go over there and help them with that, get acclimated to the culture, of course, first, especially for my wife. I grew up there, but of course, for her, it's very different. So we'll work with my parents in their main church, and we'll be helping them with that new church plant. And then our goal is to start more churches across the island there. Fiji's open right now to the gospel. As you saw, the schools are open. We've been able to go into the schools and see thousands of children present the gospel to them and see many of them trust Christ as their Savior. But the government of Fiji has started to turn and started to say, we want to follow America and all these Western countries. And we say, no, don't turn where you close the schools and become a secular nation. But we don't know how long the time we have is. So if you'd pray for us, the Lord would help us get to the field quickly. I will just share quickly, this summer we're actually going over to be there for about 3 months to kind of get things set up, get going, and also to allow my parents to come back for a few months. Dad has a medical need he needs to address. So we're praying the Lord would bring in even some support. We don't have a whole lot right now since we're starting on deputation. So we know God will provide, amen, when he calls. But we appreciate your prayers with all of that. So tonight, let's take our Bibles. I know our time is limited. So let's turn to the book of 1 Timothy chapter number 1. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. And just invite you all over to Fiji. If you ever have the opportunity, come visit us. It's a beautiful country, as you have seen from pictures. But more importantly is the souls of the many, many people there that need the truth. And it's a great place for a vacation, right? But you can also do ministry at the same time. And Fiji is a great place because everything is in English. People have their own native languages, of course, but everyone knows how to speak English. So just invite you all over sometime. And if you come, get rid of this little device you carry on your wrist, because we have something called Fiji time. No worries. We have a saying, Senganalenga. That means no worries. So we come over. People don't die of stress there. We just live a very slow-paced life. And sometimes that's bad because people are usually late for things because they leave home. So usually when we tell people if we have service at 6, 5:30, be there, because they leave home at 5:30, and then they're there by 6. If you tell them 6, that's when they leave home. But anyhow, it's exciting, and we could go on about the culture there. But let's look here tonight in 1 Timothy chapter number 1, and let's read a few verses with me, if you would. If you'd stand with me quickly out of respect for the Word of God, we won't take long tonight, but just look in verse number 14 with me, down through verse number 16. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verses 14 through 16. Let's read that together, if you would. It says, "And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Let's pray tonight. Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity we have to be here tonight. And I thank you, Lord, for this church here, Lord, Lighthouse Baptist Church, that is a lighthouse, Lord, to this community. And Father, tonight I pray you'd help each one. I know we've had a great Sunday today. Lord, a busy Sunday, but a great Sunday in your house. But Lord, as we close out this Sunday, Lord, help our hearts and minds to be focused in on your word one last time. And Lord, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. God, I pray you'd work in our hearts and help us to grow in you. I thank you for this thought that you've given me from your word. And Lord, I pray that you would help each and every one of us to know what you'd have us to do and to obey you in it. In Christ's name I pray, amen. You may be seated tonight. Thank you so much for standing with me out of the respect for the Word of God. But as we look here in 1 Timothy, we know that this was written to Timothy. And who was Timothy? Timothy was a son of the faith of who? The Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul had what? He had adopted Timothy, so to speak, spiritually. And he had made it one of his goals, one of the purposes that God had for him was to teach Timothy the truth so that Timothy could do what? Pass that on to the next generation. He told Timothy, teach these things unto faithful men who will be able to teach others what? Also. Church, why do we have the truth here tonight? Why do we have the truth? Because there have been people since 2,000 years ago when our Lord Jesus was here that have been faithful to follow the purpose God had for them and to pass on the truth to the next generation. Oop, getting a little bit of static here. To pass on the truth to the next generation. And that's what God has really burdened my heart with, to reach the next generation. And church, if we're to be honest as Christians and we're to take the opportunity and to consider what is our purpose in life? To be Christians, yes, to know the Lord Jesus Christ is very important. But you know what is very, very, very important? Is that we reach the next generation. I look at America today and my heart breaks for our country because I see so many young people departing from the truth. So many that even grow up in church. So many that know the truth, and yet have departed from that. And I'm praying, do you believe God could work? Amen? Do we still serve the same God that parted the waters for Moses? We having a little trouble here, are we okay? Keep it a little higher here. All right. Is that better? All right. We serve the same God, don't we, of the Bible. These miracles that he has done, he can do today. God can. God can work and God can use us. And God's burdened my heart specifically, as you know, to go back to Fiji and to reach the next generation there. But we need to be praying here in America that God will raise up people to reach this next generation. I'm praying for that every day. God, send forth laborers to reach this next generation of Americans. But you know who God wants to use? God wants to use each and every Christian that's here tonight. God wants to use you, regardless of your age, regardless of your status, regardless of your economic status or your nationality or whoever you are.
God wants to use you to reach the next generation. And as we look here tonight with the time we have, look in verse number 16 with me. It says, "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Church, I was reading this passage this week, and God really spoke to my heart about this, and I wanted to share it with you tonight. The plan for reaching the next generation. The Apostle Paul shares it right here with Titus. He shares with him here, going on, starting in verse number 14, about the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant. The grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant. He goes on and talks about how I was the chief of sinners. We know the Apostle Paul's background. He was a persecutor of the followers of Jesus. He literally tortured, had people tortured, and all the things that people went through, the persecution, and killed men and even women for the cause of Christ. And if we were just to stop, you know, we think of the Apostle Paul and what God used him to do, but think about Saul, the man that did these many wicked things. And you may sit here tonight and we may come up with excuses of why God can't use me or whatever it is in your life. You may say, "God, I can't serve you because of this," or, "God, you can't use me because of this." But we have no excuse. We have no excuse. The grace of God is exceeding abundant. I stand here tonight to tell you that I don't deserve to be called a child of God. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve tonight to have all the blessings in my life that I have. I don't deserve tonight to be a missionary and take God's gospel. But because of the exceeding grace, exceeding abundant grace of God. And the Apostle Paul realized this in his life. Even though all of the wickedness that has been in his life, by the grace of God, he had been forgiven. And church, if we realize who we are and what God has done for us, and realize, the Apostle Paul realized something. All that he had gone through, all that God allowed in his life, was for a purpose. It was for a purpose. And tonight, how many of the young people here come on the bus? Ooh, awesome. I love your church and the bus ministry that you have to reach these young people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the next generation right here. You know, 40, 50 years from now, who are going to be the leaders of our church? The next generation. If we're faithful and following the plan that God has given to us. God has a purpose. Do you realize that tonight? Our next generation, if you go to a public school, what are you taught in public school? Are you taught that God created us? No, sadly you aren't. You're taught that we came from what? Evolution, that we over millions and millions of years have evolved and have become who we are today. Basically, the survival of the fittest. And your life really doesn't matter. You're just a mistake of nature that has come to this point. Whatever you do in your life doesn't really matter. We can see the teaching of how our country has gotten away from what the Bible teaches. We're created in God's image for a purpose. And we can see as our education has got away from that, our country is in trouble tonight. This next generation of young people, many of them tonight are addicted to sin, addicted to whatever it is. We have a drug crisis in our culture. We have prisons tonight in America that are fuller, I'm told, than any other country in the world. Our country is full of so much, but people's lives are so empty of the one thing that really matters, the Lord Jesus Christ. And church tonight, God has a purpose. You're still here tonight because God has a purpose for your life. Young people, God has a purpose for your life. You may just think, "I'm just a little young person here." But you know that God has used young people to do great things? And God wants to use you, maybe to reach your family. I know God wants you to reach your family and your friends at school and those around you. God wants to use you. But adults here tonight and whoever you are here, God wants to use you to reach the next generation. Where does it all start? It starts in your home. It does. And as I think about Pastor and his family, and we could say that he has been faithful. Amen. You look at his children and what God has done in their lives. Why is that? That doesn't happen by accident. That happens because Pastor realized he had a purpose from God to teach the truth to his children in the next generation. You look at my family, and I'm thankful for what God has done, and you haven't had the opportunity to meet my parents, but they're just from Altoona, Pennsylvania, and Johnstown. But you know what? They realized God had a purpose for their lives. And they fulfilled that. They've been faithful to God. They followed the plan that God has given. And you know what? Thankfully, God has used them to reach their own children, their own family, with the truth. And God wants to use us to do the same thing. God wants to use us. God has a purpose. Do you realize that tonight? We realize what our purpose is, but does our life reflect it? Does the decisions that we make reflect the purpose that we understand? You know, in America, we know the truth, don't we? We've heard it time and time and time again. There are many, many young people that have grown up in church and heard the truth. But you know what? It never really took root in their hearts, did it? Many of them have departed from the truth. And you know what? I think it's sad because I've seen many Christians that they don't realize the purpose. You can have a big house. You can have the American dream. You can have a car and all of these things, which are not wrong things. Don't get me wrong. But what's the most important thing? What's the most important thing? To let Jesus Christ live through us so that the next generation sees Christ in us. Christ in us. We look at the Bible and there's many stories of this that are given for our admonition. I look at the story of Lot. And Lot had so much given to him, didn't he? Lot walked with Abraham, a man that was called the friend of God. Lot knew the promises of God. Lot knew the truth. Lot knew God's purpose. Lot knew God's plan. But what did he fail to do? He failed to understand that and let that purpose be the focus of his life. What does the Bible say? He looked unto that land that looked very good to him, Sodom and Gomorrah. What did he seek? He sought the things of this life, didn't he? And what did he lose? He lost the greatest thing I think we could compare to anything we could have in this life, his family. Church, let's not lose our family. Wherever you're at in life, don't lose your family. And if wherever you're at, you know what? God maybe has someone for you to adopt spiritually, like the Apostle Paul adopted Timothy. To what? Impacted Timothy to reach the next generation because he reached Timothy. By what? Realizing that he had a purpose. I see here it says, how be it, or for this cause. Why did the Apostle Paul obtain mercy? Why was there this purpose in his life? Notice the next few words with me. What does it say, church? That in me first. Say those words with me tonight again. That in me first. You know what, tonight? We can tell the next generation what to do. We can tell them the do's and the don'ts of the Christian life. We can tell them this is the way you need to follow. This is what you need to do to be successful in your life. And we've done that, haven't we? I'm thankful for many that bring their children to church and tell them the truth. And we need to do that. That's very, very important. But you know what's even more important than that? Is that in you first, what does it say there? Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering. You know what your children need to see? They don't just need to hear about Jesus from you. They need to see Jesus in you. Amen? They need to see Jesus in you and in I. These young people up here, I'm so thankful they come to church. Amen? They come and hear the truth, and we try to instruct them in the right way. And sometimes children don't always do the right thing, do they? And we may get frustrated at times. What's the most important thing? That they see Jesus in us. That they see the Lord Jesus Christ in us. God wants his power to be seen through us. That's God's purpose. That's God's plan for reaching the next generation, is that His purpose would be seen in and through us. Church, tonight, I'm so thankful we have our first baby on the way. Amen? So exciting, and I think I'm still wrapping my mind around it, that we're going to have a daughter here in about a month. And you know, that thought concerns me, that I'm going to have a young life that I'm responsible for, and to provide for, of course, to protect. But most importantly, to what? Show Jesus Christ to. Most importantly, to show Jesus Christ to. And I tell you tonight, I can't be the father I need to be. You can't be, fathers here tonight, you can't be the father you need to be. I can't be the husband that I need to be. I can't be the Christian that I need to be. So often we try to live the Christian life. And stay with me, all right? What are you saying? You can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. And why is that? Because Jesus has to do it through me. Amen? The Lord has really spoken to my heart through John 15:5. For without me, ye can do nothing. Without me, ye can do nothing. But we have to be so careful. We have to guard ourselves all the time and realize we can learn what the regimen is of a Christian should go through. But if we are relying on ourselves, as many people do, sadly, we're not showing Jesus to the next generation. And I think that little thing right there, many people have missed. Many people have missed in churches. Let it not be said of us that we've missed that. But let it be said that Jesus has lived through us. What does the word Christian mean? It means a little Christ. The first people in the book of Acts that were called Christians were called Christians. Why? Because when people saw them, they thought of who? The Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as I stand up here and as pastors and ministers have stood behind the pulpit and preached the word of God, they can speak the truth. But you know who knows whether they believe it and live it in their lives? Their children, the next generation. They do. And we see many times that sometimes children rebel, sadly, and go against what the truth is. But I'm thankful for the promise of His word. The song that I said tonight, do you trust the word of God? I do. Amen. I trust this book tonight. We have a world filled with many different ideas, many different teachings in our country, in our schools. But what is the truth? This book right here. We can trust it. And the book of Proverbs tells us, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, what does it say? He will not depart from it. Do you believe it tonight? Amen. If we follow the plan that God has put forth in His word, we can reach the next generation. We can. There have been those that have followed God's plan. And we may say, well, this world is just so wicked and it's so hard to raise children for God in the day and age we live. Ask Noah how he did it. Noah saved his family, didn't he? Noah focused in on what was important. The Bible tells us every thought of the imagination of their mind was, what? Wicked continually. But Noah succeeded. Why? Because he followed the plan. Church, tonight, I get discouraged sometimes when I look around. But when I look to Jesus and I look to the promises, amen, it encourages my heart that it can be done today. And it must be done. It must be done today in our churches. So thankful for your Christian school here and what God is doing through that. But even more than just teaching them the right principles and the right truths, what must take place through the teachers' lives, through the staff, through each and every one of us that are here, part of Lighthouse Baptist Church. These young people need to see Jesus in us. Amen. The Apostle Paul, we could say Christ was seen in him, wasn't it? And it impacted the people around him. He realized his life had a purpose. Young people, God has a purpose for your life. Adults, God has a purpose for your life. It breaks my heart, but over in our part of the world, people are so accepting in Fiji. We used to have cannibals in Fiji, but we don't have them anymore, right? So if you come to visit us, we're good. But if you're going down the road one day, A lot of times, if you're just going down any street where there's houses, you'll have Fijians invite you in to have you for dinner. Now, you just need to be careful. Have you for dinner? No, just kidding. No, but seriously, they'll invite you in because they're so welcoming of people. And that's good for the truth's sake. But it's also bad for false teaching because we have everything in our little island country. We have Mormons, we have Jehovah's Witnesses, you name it, these false teachers. And they're so passionate about spreading their lies. I remember hearing my father tell me that not too long ago he saw a room filled with people all with white or gray hair. White people, filled. And they were all Mormon people that have retired, done with their jobs, and instead of doing other things, what have they done? They've traveled to Fiji to spread their false lies. Wow. Church, if God has you here, it's for a purpose. Amen. Apostle Paul knew his purpose, and it affected the way he lived his life. Let that be said of us. And that purpose is for God's power to see through us, secondly. Purpose, power, but thirdly tonight, why is all this done? Look in this verse with me, and we're in closing here. It says here, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. A pattern. We can see the pattern all through Scripture, can't we? We look at the hall of faith and those that have gone on before us and not just chose to declare the truth, but to display the truth in their lives. Church, we need that today. We need that in our hearts and in our lives to reach this next generation, to follow the pattern that God has given. Are we going to do that in our hearts and in our lives? It's very, very important that we do so that we reach this next generation. I love the story of the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Those who come on the buses, you have a favorite Bible story? Yeah. What's your favorite? That's a great story, isn't it? Another one? You have another one? Favorite Bible story? Yes. When Jesus was born. That's a great one, isn't it? But we should have stories in the Bible. We understand they weren't just stories, but they really happened. That God used people. Amen? And God wants to use you and I. Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 16 goes to the city of Philippi. And just like anywhere where the gospel is preached, there are those that accept the truth and those that reject the truth, sadly. And there was a tension rising in that city, which boiled over whenever, through God's power, that young girl who was possessed with demons, she was set free from that. And Paul and Silas, were they doing anything wrong? Were they hurting anybody? No, they weren't. They were doing just the work of God, but they were cast into prison. Can you imagine that? There may be a day that comes in our country. Around the world, we have fellow believers that every day are persecuted. Even on Sundays, they must meet in what? Must meet in hiding because for fear of being persecuted for what they believe. I've heard over in China, there are millions of those that have believed the gospel. And for them, they say, you don't trust a person unless they've gone to prison because then you know their faith is real and they've stood by it. Can you imagine that? That's their seminary, they said, for their pastors, going to prison for 3 years. Wow, can you imagine that? But we have the freedom today to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in America. We don't know for how long. But what if persecution came in our lives? I can imagine in my life if I was preaching in Fiji and the authorities came in and arrested me and threw me into prison, you know what my first reaction would be in my flesh and who Josh really is? God, why did you do this in my life? I'm doing your work. I'm trying to fulfill what you've called me to do. Why have you allowed this? But we look there and we see in Acts 16, is that what Paul and Silas did? No. They choose to realize that God had a purpose in their being in prison. God had a purpose. And they choose to not just declare the gospel in Philippi. They did. They declared the gospel. But more importantly, to let Jesus Christ display the gospel. And you know what happened? The Bible says the prisoners heard them. The prisoners heard them. And a great miracle happened when the doors came open. And we could go through this story. And I love this story. It's just so great. Can you imagine that happening? The doors flying open. And that was a great miracle. But you know what the other great miracle was? That nobody walked out. The doors were open. They all stayed put. Why? Because they realized that Paul and Silas were different. They realized that Jesus Christ, this one they talked about, was real. He was alive. He is the Lord God, the reason to live, the forgiver of our sins. And the keeper of the prison was changed. And I believe many of those prisoners trusted Christ as well. Because why? The gospel was displayed through their lives. There was a pattern that was set forth. Church, God wants to do that through you and I. And you know, in my life and in your life, we're going to leave behind a legacy. Do you realize that? To the next generation. Will it be a legacy of, in our culture, we have so much entertainment. It's not a bad thing necessarily. But if that's our focus, we're missing it. If our focus is for our children, the next generation, to excel at sports and all of these things, we're missing it. If our purpose is for our children to grow up and just to make money and to have the American dream, we're missing it. Church, what is our purpose? To show them Jesus. To follow the pattern so that the next generation can hear the truth as well. I hope that one day when I get to heaven, I know my parents, I can say this about them. I saw Jesus in them. I did. There's people in my life that I've seen Jesus in. And you know what? It's impacted my life. That's why I'm here today. Because Christ has worked in my heart. But who does God use? He uses Christians to show himself to those around us. And I hope that maybe one day this song may be sung of me. I saw Jesus. Think about the words of this song. It says,
when I enter heaven's glory and I see my Savior's face, I will offer him 10,000 years of praise. Then I'll find that special one in whose life I saw God's Son. And through tears of joy with trembling lips, these words I'll say. I saw Jesus in you. I saw Jesus in you. I could hear his voice in the words you said. I saw Jesus in you. In your eyes I saw his care. I could see his love was there. You were faithful, and I saw Jesus in you.
May that be said of us. Pastor.
Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Where are you tonight?